Basic halachas. Basic halachas of Sviyas Omer. Let's discuss. Maybe we'll go back to some things that we left out yesterday about the counting of the Omer, but let's discuss today for a few moments the laws of the Avelus. Avelus during Sefir. There's a minug from time immemorial during the between Pesach and Shavuos is a Zman of Avelus. It's a Zman when we hold back from doing two things. The only thing that it says in Shulchan Aruch not to do during this time are only two things that one should not do. Number one, weddings. Weddings should not take place between Pesach and Shavuos. Number two, haircuts, which simply means some people are trying to make a differentiate between shaving and taking a haircut. I don't know, there's such a thing. There's some type of differentiation that you're not allowed to take a haircut, but you're allowed to shave. Is there such a differentiation? I don't know. There are those that do want to make that differentiation, that shaving is much more lenient than taking a haircut. But it says tispiris. Tispiris literally means a haircut should not be done between Pesach and Shavuos. Now, we'll get to how many days in a moment, but the question is why? What's the reason why we hold back from doing these two things during this period of time? There are really three reasons in total. The most popular reason is because during this era, 24,000 Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva perished. They died. They died what's called Misas Askira. Askira, what is Askira? I don't think anyone really has clarity what Askira is. But Askira is some type of throat disease, which seems to be difficulty breathing, respiratory issues. Is that really what it is? That's what it appears to be. Respiratory issues, anything in Chazal, everything that you have a certain type of death, that's an indication that we try to learn from that. What is the Makar Chazal? They had the advantage of knowing why things happen. The Chazal tell us the reason why they died. This took place almost 2,000 years ago. And being they died during this period of time of Askeran, Chazal knew the reason why, because we mourn their loss, because we suffer from the same problem. How do we know that? You have to understand why is it relevant for us to continue remembering the 24,000 Talmidei Rabbi Akiva? Just because there was a tragedy 1,000 years ago, we have to mourn today? Get on with it. Move on with life. What's going on over here? Get on with what's going on. The answer is, why was the Beis HaMikdash destroyed? The Bayis Rishon, because of the Zorah Gilei Arayish V'chastam. The Bayis Sheni, Sinas Chinam. Sinas Chinam is a synonym for Sheloi Nahagu Kovoid Ze Loze. It's all the same. Just another way of saying the same thing. When you don't appreciate someone else, that is Sinas Chinam. It's very difficult to translate in English the words Sinas Chinam. Hatred, how would you literally translate those words? Hatred, chinam, for free. Put up a big sign, free, no charge. You know, today, Baruch Hashem, everything is free now because there's no money anyway. So you can go online and you can watch all these videos for free. You can go have food for free because anyway, you don't have money, so we might as well give it to you for free. So you want some hatred? You want some hatred? Free! Free! No charge! What does that mean? What does it mean, sinas chinam? It's not so simple. One of the answers that resonates with me personally, I can't speak for anyone else, I once heard this on Tisha B'Av. It's a young guy, he wasn't a rabbi, and he spoke, and it made a very powerful impression on me. He said the taich of sinas chinam means indifference. It doesn't mean hatred. Hatred for no good reason. There's no such thing. If Reuven hates Shimon, there's a reason. There's a reason why he hates him. You know why he hates him? Either It's very good reason, because Shimon stole money, or Shimon insulted him, or Shimon undermined him, who Shimon betrayed him, or maybe Reuven's jealous. There's always good reason. What does this mean? I hate someone for no reason. What do you mean no reason? There's no such thing. If Reuven hates Shimon, there is a reason. And if you don't know the reason, go to a psychologist and he'll figure out what the reason is. There is a reason. That's not the way Hashem made this world. So what does it mean? So we loosely translate. What do you tell a child in kindergarten? What does it mean? No, of course there's a reason. Of course. The reason why you hate Shimon is because Shimon insulted you. So there's a good reason. But don't you know, didn't you learn Pirkei Avos, that you should be mavir al midoisav? You should be moichel him. Just because he insulted you, you should, don't get upset. It's been a shemayim. We can have a lot of religious talk to understand why there's no reason why you should get upset, why Shimon cursed you and was mevazi you berabim. He did you a favor. He was mevazi you berabim, and that way all your sins were forgiven. So don't get upset. This that you think there is a reason to hate Shimon, you should work on your midos and you should eradicate it. And therefore, if you continue to hate Shimon, it's chinam. It's for no reason. Aboisai, that's a very high madrega. That is way over my head. Maybe not over your head. But this answer, which is really the common answer, is I hate Shimon for a very good reason. A very good reason. But if I'm a Baal Musar, if I would have learned in the Vardik, if I would have learned in Slobodka, if I would have learned in all the Musar yeshivas, they would have taught me how to overcome this hatred that I have for this evil man, and I wouldn't hate him. I would look at him as a Nebuch, as a Rachmanis. So it's Sinas Chinam. The problem with that interpretation is I never learned in the Vardik, and I never learned in Slobodka. I never met Rabbi Shaul Salanter. I don't even know the Aleph Beis. So what do you expect me to be a Baal Madrega to say that even though I have great good cause, good reason to hate him because he insulted me, because he hurt me, he abused me, he did all these terrible things, or maybe, you know, I'm jealous. What do you want from me? Why not? Why can't I be jealous? Why him and not me? I did everything right. I did everything I'm supposed to do. He didn't do nothing. This guy, you know, as a child, he never did anything right. And now he is successful. And I did everything right. I got nothing from all of my work. What do you want from me? Oh, I should have gone to Nevardik and Slobodka and learned by Michel Salanter and to work on my midos and to realize, don't be jealous. Or if he committed a crime, it was min hashamayim, he did me a toiva. You know, these are very, very nice things. But these are for very holy people. I'm just an average guy. An average guy, I'm not holding there. If I'm not holding there, the end of the day is, I have very good reason to hate this person. You're telling me it's chinam. If I would have gone to Nevardik, Slobodka, Shaul Salanter, then it would be chinam? Okay, I appreciate that. I will study a little bit, but come on, let's be realistic. So is that really what it means, sinas chinam? The better answer is, the better, this may be a very powerful Roshim, this fellow who said this, he said everything I'm telling you, I'm just repeating word for word what he said. The better answer, chinam, means indifference. Indifference. This fellow did nothing to harm me. In fact, he's a good guy. A very good relationship with him, but I don't really care about him. If I read, if I hear that he suffered a tragedy, who cares? As long as it wasn't me, as long as it's not my family, not my problem, or if I hear that something good happened to him. Oh, good for you, what do I care? A hatred that comes for no reason. Meaning, what Chazal are trying to say is, if you don't react, if you don't have any emotion, any sensitivity to the success or failure of another person, you are in a category of chinam. Chinam means nothing. You're indifferent. You just don't care. You're indifferent. By default, that's called hatred. It's a deep pshat. It's not such a simple pshat. But it makes a lot of sense. Because to say the other interpretation that you hate someone, if you hate someone, there's always a reason to hate the person. You got to work on your midos. You got to work on your midos. That's an old story. But there's another problem that plagues us, and that is indifference. There are people out there in the world who suffer. And we just don't care. We don't care. It doesn't affect us. You'll say that, listen, what do you want? You know, it's information overload. We live in a world of information overload where if you go online, you look at a webpage, what do you see? This tzara, that tzara, this tzara. My mother once said to me, instead of having the website, they could have the website. No, everyone, only simchas.com. They report every day on the latest engagement, the latest wedding, the latest bar mitzvah. So my mother would call Matziv and Yeshiva World News. She would call them only tzoros.com. And that's really what it is. You go online, what do you see? It's all bad news, okay? Only tzoros.com. So it's a legitimate argument that the information, we're overloaded with so much bad news. Baruch Hashem, the population of Klal Yisrael has exploded. It's not, many will tell you, that we don't have today more tzaras than we had years ago. Many people will say this even less. Many will argue that Baruch Hashem, the difficulties that we have in life and the horrors that we hear about, you'd be surprised, are less today than they were 50 years ago. What's the difference? The difference is that today we know about everything. Years ago, people suffered quietly because we didn't have the technology to know every last detail about everyone's life online. You go online, I would never know what's going on in England, what's going on in Australia, what's going on in Chabad, what's going on in Satmar, what's going on in Eretz Yisrael. I don't even know what's going on in my own block. Today, the technology has put in front of our face every problem, Rachmana Litzlan, every problem. So we become overwhelmed with this news, which is tragic, and it's a problem, and it's a greater challenge to not become desensitized to these issues. Now, I'm going over here a little off topic. But the point over here is, there's something called Sinas Chinam, which is called indifference. Chazal tell us the reason why the 24,000 Talmid Rabbi Kiva died was because of sinas chinam, because of indifference. And the proof to this thesis, this idea is 100% correct. It's because what did Chazal say? Sheloi nohagu kovoid ze lo ze. Sheloi nohagu kovoid ze lo ze means they were indifferent. Doesn't say they hated each other. Doesn't say that one student hated the other student. It says they just did not have any respect. Not having respect means I couldn't care less about you. Sheloi nohagu kovoid ze lo ze. And that's what sinas chinam is. So back to our question, why today? It's been 2,000 years since the 24,000 Talmidei Rabbi Akiva died. Get on with life. Why today do we still need to mourn? The answer is because the problem has not gone away. How do we know that the problem has not gone away? Chazal tell us the reason why the Bayashani was destroyed was because of Sinas Chinam. If Sinas Chinam was cured, Geula would have arrived. We would have the Bayashlishi. So the fact that the Bayis Shlishi has not been built, it means that the problem of the Churban Bayis Sheni has not gone away. And that's the reason why the 24,000 Talmidei Rabbi Akiva perished, because of this problem. Therefore, it's appropriate to focus, to pick upon this issue and mourn over their loss, especially during the time between Pesach and Shavuos. Not only is it the exact time of the year when they perished, it's also the time of the year when we do something for 50 days that of mourning for the Beis HaMikdash. Sefiras HaOmer. Sefiras HaOmer is a very unique mitzvah in the eyes of Chazal, in that it's purely Zecher LeMikdash. Men HaTorah, you only have to have Sefiras HaOmer when you have a Korban Omer. We today do not have a Korban Omer. So why then are we counting 50 days? There's absolutely no reason. We don't bring korbanos today. We don't do anything today that relates directly to a korban. We daven or shalom afanim sevah seder, but we're removed from the avodah. This, we're doing something that directly connects to the avodah, the bringing of the omer. In achinami, this is in a new category of zecher lemigdash. When we focus on Zecher LeMikdash, it forces us to understand why the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. The Churban was Shaloi Nohagu covered because of Sinas Chinam. What is Sinas Chinam? Sinas Chinam is indifference. What is indifference? Shaloi Nohagu covered Zelozeh. Why did the 24,000 Talmidei Rabbi Akiva die? Shaloi Nohagu covered Zelozeh. That is why today, even 2,000 years later, we are still focusing upon these 24,000 Talmidim. You know, years ago, you think 24,000 Talmidim to die in such a short period of time, I don't believe it, impossible. And Meir was pointing out to me, you don't believe it? You know, in the last month, about 50,000 people in America have died, who otherwise would not have died. Why? Because of a disease that you can't see, you can't smell, you can't detect. Because what is this? What's going on over here? So it's not so far-fetched to understand that there's something called a dever, and during this tekufa there was a dever, and 24,000 Talmidei Rabbi Akiva died. Chazal had the advantage of knowing why it happened. We do not, and anyone who tells you that they know is in a lot of trouble, because no one knows nothing. And we during this time period, that's the first reason why we mourn, because Talmidei Rabbi Akiva, Shalei Nohagu Kavod Zelozeh, it's relevant today like never before. What's the other reason, the second reason why we mourn during this period of time? So Chazal say the Crusades. The first Crusade took place during this time of the year, between Pesach and Shavuos. Closer to Shavuos, but the terror already was present after Pesach. And the first crusade has changed the world. It changed Klal Yisrael. It was a watershed moment in Jewish history where we realized in a way like never before that Esav Soinei LeYaakov. Watch out. Watch out, at any moment in time, Esav will stab us in the back. And if we think that we're living, and that the Goyim, they love us, they need us, and they're good to us. Rashi says, Halacha biyodua she'esav soine liyakov, and this that Esav kissed Yaakov, be'oysasha nichmeru rachamav. It was just a moment. It was just Be'osasha. This is the time of the year to remember that just because we may get along with Esav, it's just a fleeting moment. It's Be'osasha, Esav, son of Yaakov, the damage that they have done to Klal Yisrael, the brutality, the hatred, the crimes, the horrific events of the First Crusade changed our outlook. It changed our relationship with the Umay Sa'olam forever. You know, in the Nevi'im, you study the Nevi'im very well, the Jews didn't have such a bad opinion of Goyim. You see, the Nevi'im, there was much more interaction between, even though Nebuchadnezzar, what he did to Klal Yisrael, but the Jews, they looked at other human beings as human beings. We're brought up, many of us, I look at a non-Jew any non-Jew is enemy number one. A non-Jew, it's like the attitude that we have towards non-Jews is shocking. Why? The truth is, it all comes from the First Crusade. Our distrust of a non-Jew and the way we were trained this from kindergarten is we have this attitude that is inconsistent very much with what Chazal say regarding non-Jews. It comes to us for good reason. It's because the Holocaust, because of the First Crusade, the pogroms, because of Inquisition. When did that start? All of that started with the First Crusade. All the historians will tell us that the roots of the Holocaust are found in the First Crusade. This is the era. That's the second reason why we observe this time of the year in mourning. The third reason, given Chazal, you wouldn't believe this, is the Mabul. This is the time when the Mabul happened. When did the Mabul happen? In Chodesh, in a Lag BaOmer. Lag BaOmer was the day Niftechu Arubos HaShamayim. Okay, Lag BaOmer was the day when the Mabul began. The days leading Chodesh Iyar, the days leading up, when Noach was getting the animals into the Teva, everything was going into high gear. The world was coming to an end. We are missing
one sheet, Rabbi Levina. The other sheet,
Cheshvan. Right. Machlek is what time of the year? In Nisan Nivru, the Machlek is Eliezer of Yeshua. But according to one opinion, it's the time of the Mabul, the world was destroyed. So, Lamaskana, there are three things that happened during this era that are cited in Chazal, why we observe this time as a time of mourning. Talmidei Rabbi Akiva, number two, the First Crusade, 1,000 years ago. Number three, the world was destroyed, according to one opinion, in Chodesh Iyar. Specifically, the Mabul began on Lag BaOmer, but this time is when we were going into high gear, getting ready for the Mabul. Okay, now, what are you not allowed to do during this time? There are two things you're not allowed to go do. You're not allowed to get married, no marriages, and no haircuts. Why not a marriage? Marriage represents the ultimate simcha. That's what it is. It says, Kim sois chosen al kala, ken yosis alayich alokoi. Chosen marriage represents simcha. The halach of ein me'orvin, simcha b'simcha. On chol ha'moyed, you're not allowed to have simcha. The only thing you're allowed to do on chol ha'moyed is marriages. You're allowed to have bar mitzvah, you're allowed to have all the different types of smachos you can have on chol ha'moyed. Ein me'orvin, simcha b'simcha is specifically in reference in reference to marriage. What else? Haircuts. Haircuts represents yofi. A kohen gadol gets a haircut every single day. Melech biyofyoi sechazena inecha. King also biyofyoi. A haircut, for some reason, we're not exactly fluent in these things. Today, many men don't have much hair on their head. I'm looking at all the people over here at the shir. I'm looking at all of your foreheads, except for those who are wearing caps and are trying to hide their hair. What about Meir? Let's look at Meir's hair. Meir, where are you, Meir? Meir, you're hiding? Meir, everyone's hiding there for me. I don't have any hair. So, Melech b'yafiyah sechazenei necha, there is something called beauty in here. Now, what about music? It doesn't say anywhere in Shulchan Aruch that you're not allowed to play music during the time between Pesach and Shavuos. It doesn't say anywhere, nowhere.
Yeah, that's because the Gemara in the Afternoon Science says you never, since Korban, you're not allowed to have music ever.
All right, so we discussed this last year at Great Land. That's what I'm bring up. The answer, it doesn't say it. Why? Because Me'ikar Hadin, according to the letter of the law, Me'ikar Hadin, you're not allowed to play music the entire year. ever since the Churban Beis Hamikdash, it is forbidden to play music, musical instruments, if it's not part of a Simcha Shel Mitzvah. To go into a Judaica store and they're playing in the background the latest CD from Shweki or from Avram Fried or Benny Friedman or all the superstars of today, which I don't even know who they are anymore, it's forbidden. It is categorically forbidden according to the rules of Shulchan Aruch to have live music. Many will tell you that recorded music of today is even better than live music because of the technology. It's a utensil. It's a clay shear like never before. People will argue that recorded music is also a kli. It is clay shear. It doesn't chazal clay shear. What is clay shear? Clay shear means don't have a piano and press your fingers on the piano. Don't take a trumpet and blow into the trumpet. If I have a device, an electronical device, and the electronical device makes sounds by me pushing buttons, why is that anything less than a clay shear? Why is that anything less than a utensil? It is a utensil which produces sound. And in fact, the sound that is produced by an electronical device, more often than not, is even more pleasant and more sophisticated than a sound that is made by a real instrument. So many will argue that clay shear, so what's the answer? So the answer is, for whatever reason, it's a gezeira she'en roiv ha'tzibur yecholim la'amoid boy. That's what it comes down to. It comes down to, even though this was a takana of Chazal, that you're not allowed to play music the entire year round because of the Churban Beis Hamikdash, the oilam, the tzibur, was not able to hold by such a high standard, and because of that, it was not accepted, and therefore we have today we are very, very lenient. Therefore, it was not necessary for Chazal to say that during Sfiras HaOmer you're not allowed to listen to music, because anyway you can't listen to music. So if that's the case, if anyway we're not holding on that high level of not listening to music because we're weak and we need a little spice in life, we need a little melody to keep us going in life, and very lenient, so we should be lenient the whole year. There's no, once we're lenient already, and this was not accepted, so we should be lenient, that even during the 3 weeks, the Bein HaMitzarim, and during the time of Sfiras HaOmer, we should be lenient. So the answer is no. The minog is, and this is very important, the minog is this, that we don't listen to music during the 3 weeks, and we don't listen to music during Sfira, is not because there's a new takana, don't do this. We're doing this because that's what we're anyway supposed to do. We're anyway not supposed to be listening to music the entire year. So, during the 3 weeks in the summer, and during Sfiras HaOmer, we just do what we're supposed to do. The rest of the year, we do what we're not supposed to do. But the rest of the year, you're supposed to get married. The rest of the year, you're supposed to take a haircut. Oh, so Chazal need to make a takon that during the 3 weeks and during Sefira, don't do what you normally would do. Don't get married and don't take a haircut. But music, Chazal don't have to go tell you don't listen to music, because anyway you're not supposed to be listening to music. So why do we listen to music the whole year? Because it's a gzeirah shein roi v'atzibu yecholim la'amayid ba. And therefore, once it's a gzeirah shein roi v'atzibu yecholim la'amayid ba, so no, during the 3 weeks also, during Sfira also, no, if you can't hold by that standard, you can listen to music today also. Okay, Chazal, it became a custom, a minhag, that during this time of Avelos for that Talmid Rabbi Akiva, and during the 3 weeks, we're machmir. What do we mean we're machmir? We're not really machmir. We just try to do what we are supposed to do. Therefore, being that is the whole lumdus of this whole approach, that is why it is no surprise that Rabbonim have very graciously told people who ask them, I'm in quarantine, I'm at home, and I can use some background music. Am I permitted during Sfiras HaOmer to listen to music? So many Rabbonim privately have told people, absolutely, there is no need to be machmir. Because there's no takana, there's no halacha during sfira that you're not allowed to listen to music. It doesn't exist. If someone will come to a rav today and say, Rabbi, listen, I'm very depressed. I want to get married. I want to get married during sfira Sayyidah. I'm in quarantine. I'm locked up here in quarantine, and I want to get married. Please, Rabbi, let me get married. Let me go on a date, find a girlfriend. I want to get married during sfira Sayyidah. They'll tell you, do it. Pikuach nefesh. I'm just joking. Okay, but me'ikar, they'll tell you, listen, I'm sorry, I can't help you. I can't help you because Chazal made a takona that you're not allowed to get married during sfira. Chazal made a takana, you're not allowed to take a haircut. I can't help you. My hands are tied. What do you want me to do? You want to be matachazer? I can't help you. I'm sorry. You want to go get married? Wait until Lag BaOmer to get married. I can't do anything for you. You want to go get a haircut? There's nothing I can do for you. I'm sorry. But I'm depressed. Listen, if your depression comes to a level where it's pikuach nefesh, or you're a chayla, v'chul, okay, we'll figure out a solution. But just because you're in quarantine, I'm sorry, I can't go make a wedding for you during this time. This is what it says in Shulchan Aruch. But when a person comes to a rabbi and says, Rabbi, I'm at home in quarantine, I'm depressed. I want to listen to Mordechai ben David. I want to listen. So the rabbi says, Whoever said you can't listen to Mordechai ben David? What are you wasting my time? Where does it say that during the sphere you're not allowed to listen to Mordechai ben David? You want to go listen? Listen. Oh, but Rabbi, we don't. But last year we didn't listen to Mordechai ben David. Who told you last year you can't listen to Mordechai ben David? You want to know why you didn't listen to Mordechai ben David last year during sphere? That's because you're not allowed to really me'ikar hadin ever. Listen to Mordechai ben David, ever. Because since the Churban Beis HaMikdash, it's us to list the Klei Shia. So how come you did? Because the Olam is not so mach. The Olam was not makabel that halacha because it's just too hard to abide by that halacha. But we did it during Svira. Yeah, so during Svira, you just did what you really should have done. But we really don't do it anyway. So since we anyway don't do it, so there's really no difference between sphere and not sphere. So if you have a little bit, a little tiny reason why you personally feel you need it, it's permitted. Okay, that is the lumness. That is the lumness of why you're going to see there a lot of Rabbanim have been very open and said that if you really want to listen to music during sphere and you feel like you really it's getting to you, I'm not going to tell you you can do it because there's really no reason why you can't do it because there's no halacha you're not allowed to do it. Okay, that is what is being said. Now to me, I mean personally, I'm a little bit surprised that it should be so public. It's like halacha ve'ein moirin kain. It's a given, of course. There's nothing unique to this year. Nothing unique. Whenever a person is depressed during Sfira, if you go to a rabbi, he'll tell you, Gesundheit, go listen, do whatever you want. There's no halacha, you're not allowed to do it. To go out in the open and post online that it's mutter, it's a little bit of an extreme thing to do, in my opinion. I mean, what are you, this is nothing new. If someone is depressed, so you're depressed. And Adarab, now people really, I would think just the opposite. I mean, it depends who you are, but people are dying. There are 1,000 people who are sitting shiva. Today they got up. Today, 1,000 people today got up from shiva. You know that? Over 1,000 people from Achenu B'nai Yisrael today, this morning. No, yesterday got up from shiva. Because anyone who died over Yom Tov did not begin Shiva until Friday. And Shiva is normally 7 days, Miksas Hayoim Kikuloi, which would take them to Thursday morning. But the halacha is that Yom Tov Sheni counts as one day. So therefore, yesterday morning, how do I know? I there's a person I missed, Menachem Avil. I tried again before yesterday, but I missed. It doesn't matter. Menachem Avil afterwards also. But yesterday morning, 1,000 people got from Shiv. So I would think that there are so many people who are suffering. Maybe we should be mishtatef in their pain. We have to be very, very sensitive. Be mishtatef in their pain. And, you know, should not enjoy music so quickly. Yechidim, they need to listen to music, okay. But to publicly say you can listen to music, it's a little bit of a shock to me that someone would post, would make a sign, a psak from a rava. The sign that I saw, they challenged it, that the rabbi never signed it. Some light-headed people went and did this. They took a private psak and they made it into a big public announcement that was illegal. Okay, you want to listen to music? Listen to music. But don't be insensitive to the people who are suffering. Person needs, he needs. Before Pesach, we did an event. The people from Torah Anytime, a lot of them were out because, unfortunately, people in their family were not well, and a lot of the people, the staff of Torah Anytime, were preoccupied, and there was a very big shortage. So they asked me to volunteer. So I participated in a very small way in an event. And the event was not, it wasn't an event, there were speeches, but part of it was music. And a memo was sent out to all of the musicians. It was a very big event. It was a very, very successful event. And a memo was sent out to all of the musicians, the people, the performers. And it went something along the lines is that on the same webpage where the viewers will be watching this event and your performance, above and below on that webpage will be reports of people who have just died and who are sick. So be very, very careful in how you sing and which melodies and songs you select to sing. The purpose of the program was, it's for Yom Tov, in preparation for Yom Tov, to give chizuk and inspiration to those who need. But be very careful, because right above you and right below you is a report, will be a report of someone who just died, or someone who is very sick. So use your seichel in what you do in this performance. And I have to tell you that they were very successful. The type of songs and melodies that they sung and performed was indeed very appropriate, very, very sensitive to the death above and below. Yet the goal was, you know, Yom Tov is coming, and there was a purpose in this event. And indeed, they were very, very talented in knowing what not to do, and also knowing what to do. So I'm just telling you that in a Hanami, I've heard the Rabbanim are telling people that if you want to listen to music this year in your home, in quarantine, during time of Sfira, it is permitted. We explain the lumdus of why it is permitted. But just because it's permitted doesn't mean it should be done if you don't need to do it. If you don't need to do it, then adarabba, a person should better reflect and be mishtatef in the tzaron shel Yisrael, the pain of the Jewish people, who are suffering at this time very much. So that is my take on this situation. Okay, let me just finish up some other small points about this halacha of taking a haircut and weddings. Okay, this is the, okay, one more very important point, just to remember this interesting point. There are three possibilities during Sfira when we should make an, when we theoretically can make an exception on a Friday. Okay, this is an interesting idea. This and we never discussed it, this idea. Three different, we discussed this, we did discuss the, tomorrow. There are three Fridays. I want to try to understand the lumbness of the three Fridays. During Sfira, it's possible, like this year, Rosh Chodesh falls out on Shabbos. And tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh, and Shabbos is Rosh Chodesh. Question, are you allowed to take a haircut tomorrow? If you have a minhag to begin Sfira on Pesach, are you allowed to take a haircut tomorrow on Friday? We discussed this at great length. And the maskana is yes. What's the second scenario that is not relevant this year? If Lag BaOmer falls out on Sunday, it can never fall out on Shabbos, but if Lag BaOmer falls out on Sunday, are you allowed to take a haircut on Friday? And the third scenario of a Friday, which does fall out this year, if Rosh Chodesh Sivan falls out on Sunday, and you have a custom, depending on what your custom is, not to take a haircut until Rosh Chodesh Sivan, are you allowed to take a haircut on Friday? Okay, so the three Fridays, the triple Friday, it's impossible for all Fridays to fall out in the same year. But this year we have two of the three do fall out in the same year. This year we have two of the three. The Friday of Erev Rosh Chodesh Iyar, a Friday before a Sunday of Lag BaOmer, and a Friday before when Rosh Chodesh Sivan is on Sunday. So here's the lumdus. There is no question that this year you are permitted to take a haircut tomorrow. A haircut and a shave tomorrow, because the combination of Shabbos Rosh Chodesh permits a person to take a haircut. We discussed at great length tomorrow, unless you're makbid on Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid, who says that a person should not take a haircut on Rosh Chodesh. Tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh. But even according to those on Makbid, there are many people who say that this is an exception. The only reason why you cannot take a haircut on Rosh Chodesh is because you should have taken it before. But this year, you don't have that's not a question. You can't take it before. You don't have a choice because it's Sfira. The only time you can take the haircut is on Friday. So even if you hold a Yudah Chassid, Rav Moshe says, and many places can say, this year you can be Makel, you can take a haircut on Friday, even though Friday is Rosh Chodesh, because it's Erev Shabbos and Erev Rosh Chodesh, Shabbos, 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 and Rosh Chodesh. Okay, so that's a given. Now, what about Lag BaOmer? Same thing. The combination of Shabbos being followed on Sunday by Lag BaOmer is an intensity which will make all, Chazal will make all, you can take a haircut on that Friday. However, what about when Rosh Chodesh is on Sunday? So why don't we say that the combination of Shabbos followed by Rosh Chodesh is so powerful that we should be permitted to take a haircut on Friday? Look at the three different scenarios. The first scenario is tomorrow. Tomorrow is Erev Shabbos Rosh Chodesh. Shabbos Rosh Chodesh on the same day. The next scenario is Shabbos Lag BaOmer, 2 days back to back. Shabbos Lag BaOmer. The third scenario is Shabbos followed by Rosh Chodesh. So Rav Moshe, many say the first two you can take a haircut, but the third you cannot. If your minhag is to observe the Sfira until Rosh Chodesh, you are not allowed to take a haircut on the Friday before Shabbos, followed by Rosh Chodesh Sivan. Why? Why is it different than the first two scenarios? So it's very important to understand the lumdus. in the first scenario tomorrow, the intensity is very great because both of the holidays coincide. It's Shabbos together with Rosh Chodesh. The second scenario, Lag BaOmer is a Yom Tov. Lag BaOmer isn't just a day. Rosh Chodesh is a day that it's a good day. Shabbos is a good day. Lag BaOmer is even greater because Lag BaOmer is the day when it ends. Lag BaOmer is the day when the Talmid Rabbi Akiva did not die. It's the day that is the opposite of the reason why we are observing this restriction. So even though Lag BaOmer is not coinciding with Shabbos, it comes after Shabbos, but being the Lag BaOmer in this context is so intense, it allows us to shave on Friday or take a haircut. But when it's Shabbos, Friday, the Shabbos before Rosh Chodesh Sivan, you don't have that. You don't have the double whammy of it being Shabbos Rosh Chodesh Bo Bayom. And number two, even though it's one after the other, there's nothing special about Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh is Rosh Chodesh. Shabbos is Shabbos. So just because one day comes after the other doesn't give you permission on Friday to shave when ordinarily you would not be permitted to shave. There's nothing special about Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh, Lag BaOmer again. Lag BaOmer is the day which cancels the entire mourning period. But not Rosh Chodesh. So if Rosh Chodesh would coincide with Shabbos like it does by ER, then yeah. But when it comes the day after, Rav Moshe says it's not strong enough to permit one to take a haircut on Friday. So La Maskana, we over here discussed a very good topic. The topic of the three Fridays. The share of the three Fridays. It can never happen all three Fridays happening in the same year, but there are three potential Fridays during Sira. The Friday before Chodesh Iyar, Shabbos Rosh Chodesh Iyar, the Friday before Shabbos followed by Lag BaOmer, and the Friday followed by Shabbos, and then Sunday, Rosh Chodesh Sivan. In the first two scenarios, it's mutter to take a haircut and shave. But in the third scenario, it's usur, if you follow that minhag of not shaving until Rosh Chodesh. And the lamdas is, either you need the double punch bo bayom, or you need it to be two consecutive days where the second day is potent, because it's what cancels the Avelus, then it works. But the third scenario, Shabbos, followed by Rosh Chodesh, the two very nice days, which are days that you don't mourn, you don't do anything, but each one by itself would not be powerful. And just because they follow one another is not enough. And don't tell me it's like Lag BaOmer, because there's nothing unique about Rosh Chodesh that's there to cancel. So it would not be strong enough. And the bottom line is that this year, if you do follow that minhag of not taking a haircut until Rosh Chodesh Sivan, you start from Rosh Chodesh Iyar, and you go until Rosh Chodesh Sivan, you're not allowed to take a haircut on Erev Shabbos Chodesh Sivan. Okay, Rabbi Yisai, we'll take a very short break for 60 seconds, and we'll talk about a short topic, about a Mitzorah.